Ephesians chapter 2. Looks like we may wrap up peace today. After today, there'll be no more peace. Amen. Love, joy, peace. And if there's no peace, you have to be long-suffering, right? But here we are in lesson 3, fruit of the Spirit, probably lesson 3 of lesson 3. But we had talked last week, or the week before last, actually, about that middle wall of partition being taken down. And if we'll look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 again, it says, "But now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." So there was a separation between God's chosen people in the Old Testament and all the other people. There was also a separation between man and God. And the partition, the difference between the Jew and the Gentile, that's been done away with through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're all one in Christ. If you're in the body, you're in the body. And we have peace with God now because he had rent that veil that separated the holies of the holies from the holy place that the high priest had to go into once a year. Jesus Christ, being that high priest, made the one-time forever sacrifice. And that, again, let me repeat, the one-time forever sacrifice. You're saved, you're saved. Amen. And you're not saved until this sin, that sin, or the other sin. You're saved forever. But he has allowed us to come back to God. He has reconciled us through the blood of his Son, rent that veil, so we no longer have to go to a man. Amen. And man go to God on our behalf, because the man Christ Jesus completed it all. So when they flip their collar around and turn their white collar out and get their beads out and get in a little phone booth and they start doing the hokey pokey in there and you're supposed to tell them all your sins, they're just wicked and they want to hear the dirt on you. Amen. Amen. They want to have some control over you. The truth is, the one that deserves to have control over you is the one nobody wants to have control over them. It's the Holy Spirit. That's what we're supposed to be following, not some man. We don't go to each other to get our sins forgiven or go to any man. We are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have peace with God now because of the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Once you accept that and get that on your account, you have peace with God, and you can have the peace of God. But he is our peace. Again, in verse 14, it says, "For he is our peace." And again, the world's looking for peace, and every time the world says peace, you get a bunch of leaders together for the European Union, NATO, whatever you want to throw out there, whatever alphabet soup they want to make out of men's groups, and you say, well, peace, peace, peace. What they're really saying when they say peace is control. They want to control you so they can have absolute authority over you. And the only thing that's supposed to have absolute authority over you is this. And if you don't give this book authority over you, God will put you under another authority. He will allow you to be taken over by another authority. Amen? You don't believe me, read the Old Testament. When they failed to submit to the laws of God, they ended up being in bondage to the enemy. Amen? And there again, we talked about a little bit a week or two ago the fact that those of us that have preached in the jails and prisons and juvenile detention centers and such, we have met people that were incarcerated for lengthy periods of time that were freer than people that are walking around on the streets. Folks can be walking around on the street in the bondage of sin, and folks can be behind bars just as free can be. Because freedom comes from above. It doesn't come from the world. It comes from God. And just because somebody doesn't have a number by their picture doesn't mean they're not bound. I mean, you walk past people that are bound in their sin and in the bondage of sin all day long, every day. Every time you leave your house, you're walking past people that aren't free. Amen. And what Christ makes free is free indeed. And He is our peace. Let's look at Ephesians 2:17. And came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. So He came and preached peace. Now I've heard different people say, well, that far off is the dispersed Jews. No, He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles here. The ones that were nigh were the Jews. The ones that were far off were the Gentiles. Now I know there's a far off dispersion of the Jews too. He talks about, in this particular passage, He's talking about the Gentiles and the Jews being the same now because of the blood of Christ. He is our peace. If you're from a Jewish background, you get saved, you have peace. You're from a Gentile background, you get saved, you have peace. You have peace with God, and you can have the peace of God. The only way that peace comes is by being saved. And the only way to have the peace of God is by being obedient. Amen. We can give our peace away. We can lose our joy by not serving the Lord. We talked about before, you know, those folks in the Fox's Book of Martyrs and things like that, where those folks in the 1500s were Rome. By the way, Rome was burning them at the stake. And a lot of them were singing praises to God with their last breaths. They had peace because they weren't so caught up in the flesh as we are. I don't think we really realize how caught up we compare ourselves among ourselves. Well, the guy down the street, I'm doing pretty good. But according to the Word of God, according to Paul and Peter and the rest of the folks that were crucified and beheaded and all these things for the cause of Christ, that were burned at the stake, that watched their children being eaten by the hogs while they were telling them to recant and you can stop this, and they just said, no, we're not going to turn our back on the Word of God. We're not going to turn our back on Jesus Christ. Those people were sold out to Jesus Christ. We are so caught up in the flesh, even the what you would call the closest of the Christian walks today, nothing like the average walk of the believer 200 or 300 years ago. Really nothing like the average walk of the believer 70 years ago. You know, we see these old saints go on. My grandma was 93 years old, almost 94 when she went on. She just had an outlook on life that was totally different than anybody else I ever knew. Come through the end of Great Depression, you know, never had anything, been through some real trials and sufferings, and just thank the Lord for everything. It wasn't something she had to work up either. She meant it. I'd call her, hey, Grandma, how you doing? Oh, just the Lord's been good to me. Thank God for the sunset. He gave me a beautiful sunset. How many times you sit out on your porch and think, just list the things that God has given you. Amen? Be having a bad day and look out your kitchen window and just, boy, there's the sun. Wasn't for God, I wouldn't have that. Sunshine, sunset, sunrise, stars, birds singing, bees flying around pollinating things. You pick a tomato off your plant, boy, look what I've done in my garden. No, look what God did. Amen? We've talked about before about the old scientist that said he didn't need God. And he said, well, we can make life now. And that's where they're headed. That's what they want to do. They can't really, but in their mind, they're going to get there. And the Lord comes down and He says, so you don't need me? He said, no, I don't need you. He said, I can make anything. I can do anything. We've arrived. And the Lord said, well, make life then. He reaches down and picks up a handful of dirt. And God says, no, use your own dirt. Amen? Man can't do anything except with the stuff God started. What are you going to do? That's why man wants to say this was all an accident. That way God doesn't have any authority over it. But the truth is, God did it. And if God did it, then He must have some rules and some authority over things. It's just easier to say, well, it was an accident, and we have elevated by accident to be the highest of the species, and we can control everything. They're not in control of anything. Remember what Jesus Christ said, told Pilate? You wouldn't have any power at all if it wasn't given to you the Father. Amen. So the folks that made the bombs for Hiroshima and what have you, they wouldn't have any power at all if it wasn't for God. Use your own dirt, God says. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Looking at the Prince of Peace this morning. Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's go ahead and read 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now think about that. We're supposed to walk worthy of the vocation. That vocation is our job, what we're supposed to be doing for Jesus Christ. When you get a job and somebody's paying you for something by the hour or by the week or by the, you know, however it's set up, they expect you to do things their way. Amen. And you see, that's where God has, he's not happy with all these people playing church with all their worldly stuff going on. Amen. You're supposed to walk worthy of the vocation. That vocation is to preach Jesus Christ crucified and risen to a lost and dying world. He tells us to be holy. You know why? That way the world will take us seriously. You walk in there wearing your flip-flops and your Bermuda shorts and your wife beater shirt and all that junk, and you got your, you know, the arms cut out, all that garbage, and you know, you're talking like you're half hillbilly and half Californian, you know, and nobody really understands you. You know, you want to tell you about Jesus, man. You got to drive your own bike. Nobody understands any of that stuff. Nobody wants to hear that garbage. You know what people are looking for? They're looking for truth. I mean, they can go anywhere and find that garbage. Why would they go to a church and find it? If they do, they're not going to be any different than the world. But God wants us to walk worthy. He wants us to be clean. I'm not saying that anything in and of ourselves we're worthy, but there's Christ in us, the Prince of Peace, that should be showing to a lost and dying world. Amen? So, I mean, if you're doing something out of the will of God, quit. So, well, you just don't know. Well, yeah, I probably don't know, but I've never struggled before. I've never had any arguments with my flesh. I've never been defeated by the flesh. I've never had any of that stuff. I don't know, right? Everybody knows. Amen. Even Jesus Christ knows. He knows what the temptation's like. Amen. Yet without sin. Read 1 Corinthians 10:13, then make your excuses. Amen. There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. And it says at the end of that thing that God will give you a way out of anything. And for those folks that, you know, falling into temptation, or all right, let's just be real. Those folks that dove into temptation head first, they seen the way out right before they did it, and they refused it. If you're saved, God says, nope, this is what you should be doing instead. This is where you need to take a stand against yourself, and you need to say no. This is where you need to quit listening to that. This is where you need to quit looking at that. This is where you need to quit talking about this or whatever. And he says, this is where you ought to go instead. And you say, no, I'm not going to do it. And you fall into sin. No, you don't. You jump in. Because God gives you, the Holy Spirit gives you a way out. Amen. Well, you don't understand my struggle. God does. I might not understand all your struggle, but God does. I'll guarantee you, he's helped me get through some things. There's no way I'd ever got through them all. Amen. Some of the things he took away almost immediately, and some of the things he worked on, some things he's still working on. What are they? None of your business is what they are. Amen. Amen. You ever had trouble loving the brethren? You know what the Bible commands us to do? Love the brethren. You ever have trouble loving your enemy? I quit Jack Daniels easier. You know, if I was drinking it, I'm not saying I'm drinking. I'm just saying I quit that easier than I could quit having a hard time loving my enemy. Amen. So whatever excuse you got, he's told you to do something that's harder than any of that stuff. That's love your enemy. But it comes from the Prince of Peace, and you want peace, you follow God's word. You know, and look, I'm not preaching this as somebody that, or teaching this as somebody that has arrived. I'm teaching this as somebody that's in the same boat you are, with different struggles maybe, but with the same answer. Amen? The same Prince of Peace. Colossians chapter 1. Did we get to Ephesians 3? We didn't. There we go. Let's go back through there. Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Oh, how about that? Love the brethren. That means forbearing one another, putting up with some stuff, in long suffering. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. So why in lowliness, meekness do we love one another and put up with each other, tolerate some things? Well, you can't do it if it's for you, but if it's for Him, you can. That's what he's saying, doing it for unity. What's the unity supposed to be? What's our purpose? To glorify Christ. So when the brother offends you, or the sister offends you, it's not about you, it's about glorifying Christ. And if he could take Calvary for you, can't you take a little bit of offending for him? Can't we?
Amen.
Amen? All right, get mad and get over it. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. It didn't say you're never going to be angry. It says what you do with it. Watch what you do with your anger. Take it to the Lord. Lord, I can't handle this. I'm about ready to choke somebody out. Amen? Oh, I know. I'm the only one that's ever been there, right? I guarantee you my wife has over the 26 years. But anyway, daily. I'm confessing now. Turn your collar around. My wife has daily. But the thing is, it's about Him. If your life's about Him, things are a lot easier to do right. It's just a lot easier to do right. When it's about you, it's just about you. And if it's about you, it's what you want. And right now, you might want to do something wrong. But when it's about Him, you say, well, I don't care what I want, it's about Him. It's unity. Unity in trying to glorify Jesus Christ. That's what's wrong with the churches nowadays. And that's where we're wanting to get to, is perfect unity. That's our goal, is to have perfect unity. Everybody in these seats wanting to glorify Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's not about Pastor Dave or Brother Jim or Sister Sheila or Brother Robert or Brother Blanket. It's not about us, it's about Him. And if it's about Him, then we can love each other and have unity and focus on glorifying Him. There's not much of that going on anymore. There's a bunch of game plan and a bunch of tradition and a bunch of garbage going on. Amen? You know, we'll get a full-size basketball court and we'll get all the kids in here and they can dunk for Jesus. Well, they might go to hell too. How about preaching the truth? There ain't nothing wrong with having fun. I think kids ought to know how to have fun at church. But you don't have to bring the whole world into church and say, this is where you need to have your world. No, this should be your new normal. Amen. And maybe if they're going to play basketball, maybe I'll tell them why it's wrong to play basketball on Sunday for, you know, the NBA players. Teach them some godly principles. But just to get them in, to get them in. Amen. And not teach them any doctrine or anything like that. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I still hold it to the belief that if they die and go to hell and nobody told them the truth at that church, they're going to have their feelings hurt when they get there. Amen. When they're standing there wondering why nobody told them, it's probably going to hurt their feelings. Amen. Amen. But you don't understand, Lord, I could dunk the basketball at the full-size church service thing. Amen. And we could show up in our shorts and have church in the gymnasium while we were playing. But nobody told me. Amen. What a mess. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently it's okay if you put a Bible verse on your tennis shoe. That's sarcasm, by the way. But, or tattoo it on your neck or something, then you're all right. I'm just taking Jesus with me. John 3:16. I got it covered. You should take Jesus with you, but you should meet together on Sunday to brag on Him with other believers. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So the bond that we have as believers is Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. That bond of peace. He is the bond. He is the glue. You go to, if you're lost and you go to a family reunion, you get upset with one of your family members, you can just never see them again. But when you're saved, you're supposed to get past that kind of junk. Because your church family, hope my mom doesn't listen to this stuff, but your church family is supposed to be closer than lost biological family. Let's put it that way. If you have saved biological family members, you're church family, spiritually speaking. But your local church family is supposed to be knit together in the bond of peace in Jesus Christ, where you should actually be closer to the folks you go to church with than especially lost family members. Amen? I have a lot of childhood memories with a lot of family members. I miss a lot of them. A lot of them went home to heaven. Some of them I haven't seen for 20, 30 years. Some of them I may never see again inside of heaven. Some I never see again, period. But the real good memories I have are church folks' memories. But the other side of that coin is some of the bad ones are too, because the ones you're closest to can hurt you the worst. Amen. There's no doubt about it. If you know you don't have anything invested in them, they're going to hurt you too much. They might upset you for a moment, but you go on. But folks you really have an investment in, and you pray for and love and try to be a blessing to, and those are the ones that can hurt you the worst. But we have that, supposed to have unity in the bond of peace through Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1. So before you all arm wrestle over the pineapple cake here in a couple hours, hour and a half, remember, it's all about Jesus, right? Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Made peace through the blood of His cross. So that peace with God comes through the blood of His cross, and honestly, the peace of God comes through the blood of His cross. Putting up with each other is because we know the Prince of Peace. Amen. And look, most folks, most saved folks, most church folks, we don't have a hard time getting along most of the time, but if you're around each other long enough, every once in a while you're going to have a hard time with each other because we're people. That's the problem. You say, well, if it weren't for people, yeah, but if it weren't for people, you wouldn't have a ministry. Amen. We're supposed to minister salvation by grace through faith to the lost and minister to each other, keep each other in the race and on focus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The blood of the cross satisfied the Father. Now we can have peace. We do have peace, the peace with God. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's see, 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. He's, the God of peace set you apart, sanctified you wholly, completely. Set you apart. You know he says body, soul, and spirit. Amen? We're supposed to be completely set apart. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Lord, I give you my soul. But what about your flesh? We're supposed to put the flesh on the altar and say, Lord, I belong to you. I'm dying to me, I'm dying to self, it's all about you. That's like a foreign language, like I'm speaking in tongues when we're in America talking about that stuff. Dying to self? What is that? I can't even tell myself no at the donut shop. Amen? Amen. That'd be a good place to start. So, well, that seems something simple. Well, quit doing it for a couple weeks and see how simple it is. Maybe your flesh will actually get in subjection to the Spirit. Amen. Say, well, it's those cigarette puffers and the drunks that are having the trouble. No, it's not. It's not just those folks. It's the backbiters. It's the gluttons. Amen. It's the proud. Well, I don't drink like they do. Well, yeah, but they actually, even though they're doing something wrong, they actually read their Bible. Because they're trying to get out of that trap that the devil set for them. You don't drink and you're proud of that, but you don't read your Bible. Amen. So where's this end? Every single one of us has a problem. Amen. And we're all waiting for the Lord to call us out of here to get rid of our problem. It's us. Oh, if they just shut the bars down, the abortion clinics. Well, if you shut your pride down, amen, we get right with God, then maybe instead of patting ourselves on the back, we could use the hands to pray for the people that we're pointing at, and maybe God would deliver them. Amen. You don't know what people are struggling with. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you see people struggling with something. Oh, I just can't believe that brother or sister would do that. What a heathen. How carnal are they? Well, yeah, but how much time have you spent praying for them? Amen. These are brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope you're praying for me. I need it. Amen. My wife needs it double because she's married to me. Amen. She needs a double portion. Start calling her Elisha. Amen. But we need to be praying for each other. When somebody's having a problem, instead of kicking them in the teeth without even saying it, how about, you know what, we should be praying for them. But, oh, it's disgusting that they would sin. Right? And the Lord's like, yeah, hang on just a second. Let me get your list out. You know, close your eyes and just imagine you had a list. And the Lord says, let's fill it in. Amen. Oh, you're right. That one thing's not on your list. Amen. But guess what? They've got three things on their list, and you've got 75 on yours. So maybe, amen? Maybe the hypocrisy is overwhelming sometimes. So love each other, pray for each other. When somebody's struggling with something, pray for them. Amen. If it gets out of hand, it has to be dealt with. I understand that. But the thing that's really out of hand that sometimes nobody knows about is the pride. You know? And you come to church and you're everybody's buddy and you go home and think, man, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm glad I'm not doing what that brother was doing or that sister's doing. I can't believe that. Can you believe he said that? Can you believe she did that? Can you believe they're doing that? Can you believe you're not praying for them? He that was out sin, without sin, cast the first stone. The whole spirit, the whole soul, the whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could be all in for the Lord. That's what Paul wants for us, wanted for the believers. That's what we should want for each other. That's why we pray for each other. Well, that person gets on my nerves. I'm just going to write them off, be nice to them in public. But really, in my heart, I just don't want to deal with them anymore. Well, pray for them. Amen? You know what Job did? He went through all this mess. All of his friends, right? Telling him what a wicked loser he was, and that's the reason he was going through everything, in their pride. He gets to the very end. He's trapped in this horrible mess. He prays for his friends, and God turns it all around. Amen? Was anybody innocent in that situation? If you looked at it, you'd say Job was, but he wasn't. If he was, God wouldn't have had him pray for his friends before he turned him loose. He had a pride issue. But all the folks that were telling him it was his problem and why his problem was there, they all had pride issues, didn't even realize it. Well, let me expound upon why you're having these problems, Job. Right? That's what his friends did. And Job in his pride is sitting there going, oh, I'm sure these guys are going to have the answer when I don't even have it. And then the next thing you know, all this pride just causes all these problems. But the target was Job. That's the one the devil was after, trying to destroy. He wasn't after Bildad and Elisha, the other guys. I can't remember their name. Bildad and all those guys. He already had them. They were attacking Job. He was using them to attack Job, and they didn't even realize it. But God said when Job turned and prayed for his friends, God freed Job. What happened was he got down there to where the rubber meets the road, and he had to be real. And he got with God, and he said, Lord, could you imagine this? This is probably the way it went. If he was like us, this is the way it went. But Job was an upright, perfect man, feared God to shoot evil. It might not have went this way with Job. But he had got down, and he had prayed, and the Lord said, you didn't really mean that. He said, oh, Lord, I did. I'll forgive Bildad, you know, the Shuhite, the tallest man in the Bible, man. Feel him. Forgive him. I feel bad for him. Oh, you didn't really mean that. Oh, I did, Lord. I did mean it. He's a wicked man, and he's prideful. The Lord says, really? Why don't you come back tomorrow and talk to me again? And he goes back to him, and he says, you know, Lord, you're right. I was proud. My friends, they deserve to be prayed for just like I want to be prayed for. And then he says, all right, now you mean it. Amen? You ever go to God and not really mean what you're asking? You know it's the right thing to do, and in your mind you're doing it, but your heart is far from it. And then finally the Lord says, I'll get you where you want to be, or where you need to be, and then we'll talk. And that's where Job was when he asked God to pray for, to forgive his friends, and God said, all right, now you can move along. I think a lot of people get stuck in the mud of unforgiveness, and that bitterness of unforgiveness, and they're just like a cancer. It just eats away at their spiritual life. And they'll keep going through the motions because their mind knows it's the thing to do, but their heart never gets right. What a tragic thing for a blood-bought, born-again believer to leave this world with their heart wrong. Going through the motions like a Pharisee. Like a Pharisee. Going through the motions, doing everything that everybody would look at. Oh, the brothers and sisters don't know where I'm at. They think I'm all right, so I'm all right. But the truth is, you and the Lord know when you're not. And what if you're not, and the Lord says, all right, that's your last breath. That's where we end it. And then you're like, oh, man, I wanted to get right tomorrow. He said, what about the first 15 times I give you the opportunity? Amen? I don't want to go that way. And the thing is, we don't know when we're going. You say, well, I'm 50, and they're 70, and they're 80. The one that's 80 might outlive every one of us. We don't know. The rapture could happen. Then what? Doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter anymore, amen? It doesn't matter anyway. What matters is your heart right now. Because right now might be all you have on this earth. Amen? I say that to say this. If you've got a problem between you and the Lord, get it fixed today. So, well, you're asking me to quit 70 years of drinking or 40 years of smoking or 30 years of cutting. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to get your heart right with the Lord. And then he'll take care of the rest of it. Amen? See, we get the idea that sinlessness is having our heart right. No, our heart wants to do right, and God will take care of the rest. Most people don't quit whatever vice they have, whether it's cussing or drinking or whatever it is, because they don't want to. They don't want to. Why? Because it's not comfortable. Well, how uncomfortable do you think it's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ? When he says 70 years and you were on that bottle, you wouldn't quit. 25 years you had a little wine for your infirmities, you wouldn't quit. You know, 15 years you twisted the scripture to make your sin look right to other people. And you knew better. Amen. Yeah. Having your heart right is having the desire to please God. God will take care of the rest. Most people don't want to please God. That sin that so easily besets us could be behind us under the blood, but instead we keep pushing it down the road. So I'll deal with it later. Right now I'm having fun with it. We push it down the road, deal with it later. Push it down the road, deal with it later. Oh Lord, I'm getting right on this thing. My heart's getting closer to wanting to be right. And the truth is, your focus is on that sin instead of the Savior. You don't want to get rid of sin. Amen.
Yeah. Right.
What sin is there in this world that God couldn't get you through? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says none. It says every single one will give you a way out. So, well, that's just at that time. No, it's not. It's forever. He can get you through it forever. How do I know? Because he got me through a lot of them forever. Hey, look, I was 25 years old when I got right with God. I'm not going to give you a list because I don't like the list. But believe me, in 25 years as a male, you can get some sins behind you because we're knuckleheads and we know everything from like 15 to 18. And then, was it Ken Hovind said the brain don't even start working in a male until they're 25 or something like that? So see, it started working and I got saved. Amen? Got right with God. But I can guarantee you, I can testify that there's a whole bunch of sins God got me through. And there's still a thing or two I struggle with. I'd tell you, one of them might be pride, but I'm too proud to say it. Amen? But we do. We struggle with pride. All of us. And the only thing we have to be proud of is our Savior. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Boy, I better get with it or we're going to be in this next week too. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What does Paul instruct Timothy to follow after? Righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. What does he say to flee from? Youthful lusts. You know what? Basically, what he's saying is say, folks, grow up. Mature. When somebody first gets saved, you expect them to have problems. But you don't expect them to have the same problems 20 years down the road as they had 20 minutes into it. Amen? And it sometimes happens the opposite way, unfortunately. Sometimes they end up more problems down the road than they did to start with. Because they're not sitting under the preaching of the truth, they're not reading their Bible, they're not praying, they're just making up their own religion. And the next thing you know, not only are they doing worse things, but they're justifying it by saying God is love. And God wants me to feel good and have a good time. He does want you to have a good time, but you have to define good. Because good is connected with God. Remember, there's only one good, and that's God. And good is clean. Amen? Holy. Hebrews chapter 12. We might get there. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Well, that's a tough one there, isn't it? Peace and holiness. And as those two go hand in hand. The peace with God comes from trusting Christ. The peace of God comes from being clean. Because the peace of God won't land on a filthy sinner that's not trying to get right. You can't have that. You can't have that peace that passes all understanding when you're living out of God's will. For salvation, you have that peace. But you can't have that peace out of God's will living in this world. Hebrews 13. Verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is what God's desire is He wants to work that peace out through us, through you. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. So you can do good work and not be perfect. Might not be mature. You could just be going through the motions. He's talking about something that's happened with your heart. God doing this, working these things through us for His honor and His glory. I want to leave you with this. And believe me, I didn't even have any idea this was going to be a topic so much today, but think about this for just a minute. We'll think about this a lot. How many people call you and tell you, hey, I'm struggling with this, would you pray for me? Think about this. Every single person in here ought to be able to call anybody in this church that's a regular church attendee and say, hey, look, I'm struggling with my mouth. Would you pray for me? I'm not saying to do that, because if you call the wrong person, they'll never let that go. But there might be somebody. Think about this. Why are you not on that list? Why are you not on that list? Is there anybody in here that can trust you that much? That you could trust that much? You can trust the Lord, but there ought to be somebody in your spiritual walk, in your spiritual life, that you could say, hey, you know, look, I'll be honest with you, I'm struggling. Even if you don't tell them what it is, there ought to be somebody you say, hey, I'm praying for you. Would you pray for me? I'm struggling. Why don't those phone calls and texts happen that much? Are we putting off the idea that maybe somebody couldn't trust us with that? Amen? You walk in that office and tell me something, my wife don't even know it, unless she's in there with us. If you're a female, she'll know it, because she'll be there, or another lady will be there. But my wife don't even know it. That's nobody's business. That's my job, is to keep it nobody's business. Unless things are out of hand, and then it has to go biblically down another route. But when we counsel each other, we should be able to make it nobody else's business. And look, I'm going to advise you to wisely not give specific details to people if you're struggling with something. Unless it's something, somebody you really, really trust. But you should be able to call people and say, hey, look, I just want an unspoken prayer request to you. I'm struggling. Would you pray for me? Amen. 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 Father, we sure love you and thank you for being the Prince of Peace. And Lord, for the salvation you've given us and the blessings you give us. Help us to be more like Christ. Teach us, Lord, to love peace by having unity in the bond of peace. It's all about you. Help us in our mind and our heart to make it all about you. In Jesus' name, amen.